I got Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library here in the studio with Talking Books. Susan, how are you?
Hello, Aaron.
Oh.
I'm doing my very bad Dracula impression.
Oh,
it's terrible.
I see.
I know this. Hello, Aaron. Sorry. Hello. Hello, and happy almost Halloween.
We're only less than 2 weeks away
from
Halloween.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful. Wait, we got to do it in the Dracula voice, though. It's the most wonderful time.
I haven't heard any of those ads with, like, Beethoven and, don't you? I mean, that's
Redmond's?
Totally Beethoven, right? But
yeah,
don't
yeah,
you do
yeah.
the, like, Beethoven? You should do a Dracula one.
Oh, I'll,
you should do a library PSA in the Dracula voice for Halloween.
Okay. Come to the library. How many books can you check out? One, two, three, four. This could go on for a while. It's mostly unlimited. How many books can you check out at once? Is there a
50
limit? 50.
50?
Okay,
at
yeah,
time.
That would be a long PSA.
Right? Are we on the air yet? We're just chatting.
Oh, yeah,
here.
No.
I mean, hey, Aaron.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, so I love Halloween. I'm
really?
Like this happy, generally like la-di-da smiling person.
Right, until Halloween rolls around.
I love Halloween,
and then
like the darkest, scariest.
The real
things.
Susan Brown comes out.
Love it. I love it. I love Halloween. So, yeah.
What is it that you love most about Halloween? Is it the dressing up? Is it the candy?
The dressing
is
up,
it the
scary stuff. Well, really, I love like horror stuff
okay,
in general.
That's true.
I love horror movies, horror fiction. I love all of it. I love Halloween. I like to scare myself silly.
All right.
I love the costumes. I love the trick-or-treating. And I'll tell you, our kids, I'm not sure they're actually our children. They don't like chocolate.
Of
Neither
course.
One
wait,
of my
what,
children
what,
like
no,
chocolate.
Wait, oh, go back. So
right?
When they go out trick-or-treating and they come back with a whole bunch of chocolate, can I have some?
Let me
question.
Just tell you,
okay.
It's the greatest night of the year for all of us. So they go out trick-or-treating, they come home, and they sort their chocolate and non-chocolate Halloween
yes.
take. So the chocolate stash is this mountain, yay
right.
big. I'm doing this
and,
so you
and,
can see it.
Yeah.
And then they have
be
like,
it known that Susan has indicated a stack of chocolate that's about 2 feet high.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they have like 10 packs of Skittles and some Starburst.
Right.
So we are not only the cool parents who when the kids ask, can we eat all the candy in one night?
Right.
We say, of course you
of
can.
Of course you can. It's right there. There's like
just
three
eat
packets.
It all.
Go for it.
We're the cool parents. And then we have chocolate.
The time it took you to ask, you could have just
right?
eaten it.
And then we have chocolate for months.
Nice.
Or actually, it's days, really.
Chocolate
it's
for days.
And yes, I will bring you some chocolate.
Yes.
So that's another reason that I love Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's
so what do
great.
They like the sour candies? Or
sour.
The...
If it's sour or gummy,
oh,
fruity.
Oh, man.
They
yeah,
just don't like
that's,
chocolate.
That's
they
not
never
okay.
have.
I don't get that.
I like all the chocolate.
I'm exactly the opposite. Like, I'm all about the chocolate. I've never really been into the sour right. gummy stuff, but...
Yeah.
Every once in a while, but not very
that's
often.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, Halloween.
That's good.
I love
that works
it.
Out. Yeah.
Love it.
That I think is sort of an evolutionary quirk of humanity. Like the survival of the fittest. So the people who tend to survive and thrive are the ones who have kids who have different taste in candy than they do, so that everyone can.
I'm
sort
not
of
sure what you're
pot.
Talking about.
Yeah,
you
I'm
lost
just making
me
stuff
there.
Up. Yeah.
Let's talk scary books.
Cool. All right.
I
so,
hope that this is like a 2-hour special because I have so many books.
That's good because, okay, so we're doing this in two parts, right?
Yes.
So not so scary, scary books. We're like,
Susan
emailed
week,
me earlier
right.
today and it's like, well, next week we'll do scary books and this week we'll do not so scary books. And I'm like, okay, great. And then I come on the air and I'm like, wait a minute. Did she mean like horror books that aren't scary or like the Federalist Papers? Because that's not scary, but it doesn't really count.
Well, you can talk about whatever you want to.
Done.
I'm going to talk about Halloween-ish, scary-themed, timely books for this prompt that
okay.
aren't terrifying.
Okay.
Next week, I'm going to scare the pants off of everybody.
All right.
Okay.
People are going to be driving around. That's going to be kind of awkward.
Well, no, if they're driving, I
if
mean, they could
well,
lose
no,
their pants
I mean, like
and you wouldn't know
it. Probably gets in the way of like the brake pedal after a while.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know. Okay. That's
cool,
actually
go
scary
for
right there. Let's do it. Okay. So,
we've seen so, Chapel Hillians. Come on.
Okay. So rather than like 3 or 4 specific books like we usually do, I brought like sort of mini list of books, okay? So
okay.
if you want to be kind of scared, but you don't want to be really, really scared, right? And by the way, why do people like to read scary stuff or see scary movies? I think, and this is true for me, it's a way to experience like the adrenaline of
right.
being scared and confronting these things without actually being, you know, around
yeah.
zombies or
it's
serial killers.
Safe adrenaline,
exactly,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
You get the rush without the possibility of
Right.
Getting
Kermit. So if you want to read something to get in the Halloween spirit, but you don't want to be super scared and you all don't right. like lots of blood and gore, I could recommend some short stories that are scary.
Ooh,
so
all right.
some that come to mind are Shirley Jackson's The Lottery right?
Yes,
the classic, like, dystopian story.
Yes, yes.
I was also thinking The Yellow Wallpaper, Charlotte Perkins Gilman.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's a classic.
Which is the couple,
I love that
they go
one.
To the house, and it's a feminist short story, but it's mm-hmm. also this sort of descent into madness and isolation.
Yeah. And like, at
that's
what point does
one.
She become mad, and when what is real and right? what is not? I get that line blurring at the end, and yeah, it's
that's
so
a great
good.
One.
Yeah.
And so it's not gonna like terrify you. You could sleep that night, but it's like psychologically scary.
Yes.
And then one of my favorites to recommend is Ray Bradbury's short story, The Veldt. So
yes,
in that
we've talked
story,
about this. This is from The Illustrated Man, right?
I believe
the,
so.
The collection.
So,
yep.
so I was thinking about this recently. I took a tour of NC State's J.B. Hunt Library, mm-hmm. which is this groundbreaking, internationally known, really innovative place. And they have this whole room with screens everywhere. I forget what they call it, but it's like screens everywhere. So people come in, like, visualize their research. It's really cool. And it made me think of that story. So in this story, these kids, it's like in the future, and then rather than paint on their walls or wallpaper, they have screens. So this is probably in our near future, right?
Right.
And they have these, they can change the scenery on the screens. And these kids, like their parents, try and discipline them, and then these kids kind of push back. And in the end, I'm just going to say, well, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say. I don't want to ruin it. But the kids... The scenes on the walls of the bedroom come to life, and it does not bode well
Ooh,
for the parents. So
yes,
it's scary.
Yes, yes.
Right, there's not a lot of blood and gore, but it's scary to think of how our present time is now with screens and technology and what it could be like.
All right.
I mean, I've got more, but I'll stop.
Yeah, all right. So
short stories are a great way to yes. celebrate the season without being terrified.
Unfortunately, if I'm going to recommend a short story, the one that I always come, like a scary kind of short story, the one that I always come back to is one that was assigned to me by Mrs. Hutchinson, who is my 6th grade advanced English teacher. And you know that this resonates because, like, I read this, you know, a few years ago, and it still sticks with me, but I can't remember the title or the author, so there's no way that I can actually recommend this.
Librarians aren't like good at that game.
Okay, fine.
Let's
all right.
Do
here,
it.
Here we go. All right. So this is a short story
I'm not
about
use my phone at
a,
all.
You probably got your phone even as we speak. This is a short story about a guy who decides that he wants to experience what it's like to be buried alive. So
I think I read this story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he gets his friend to help him, and they rig up this coffin and they bury it. I guess they bury it in a graveyard because why not tempt fate as much as humanly possible? But they like rig up this coffin so he's buried alive, but there's a vent that goes up and goes out of the ground so he can breathe.
But
and
isn't
then,
that an Edgar Allan Poe story?
I don't know. I think it's more recent than that.
Okay.
I don't
That's
think
the
so.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, I'm not
okay.
sure about the Edgar Allan Poe.
Right.
I could be wrong. It could be Edgar Allan Poe.
Does it end well for them?
No, God,
okay.
Yeah. Old woman comes along and sees this poor new coffin with a little flower pot with no flowers in it and decides that she's going to go above and beyond and stuffs that thing so full of flowers no air can get through.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I'm terrified. This is supposed to be the non-terrifying week.
This was for kids. This is like the
sixth grade, yeah.
Right? So we read this. Mrs. Hutchinson gave us some like really scary stuff. She gave us Donovan's Brain and a couple of other classic short stories like that. But okay, so that one, which I can't remember the author and the title, and Susan is currently actively Google-fooing this to find it. The one that I do know, the Edgar Allan Poe story that I would recommend is Cask of Amontillado. Which is a classic. It's hard to pick your favorite Edgar Allan Poe story. There's that one. There's Telltale Heart. There's Mask of the Red Death. There's so many good ones. What's yours?
I don't know. I was
it,
just giving
you?
Up. No, because
I
just heard this morning this whole thing about multitasking. I was trying to listen
okay.
to you, trying to think about what I was going to say next, trying to search for this book,
uh-huh.
and I can't do it.
Okay.
So I just put my phone down. I
All
gave
right.
up. I mean, I will find it.
You will find it? All right.
And your suggestion of Edgar Allan Poe is the perfect segue to what I was going to talk about next.
Okay. Cool.
If you want to celebrate Halloween with some scary reading,
yes.
but you don't want to be terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I did this for a couple of years, and then we just stopped doing it. Maybe we'll do it again this year. Is we used to choose a classic novel to read at Halloween. Like, we would read it at the same time because we were adorable and nerdy and we had time back then.
Yeah.
But we would always choose. So one year we did House of the Seven Gables by Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. One year we did Turn of the Screw by Henry James. We did The Picture of Dorian Gray. So that's a great way, if you're in a book club or if you like classic fiction or whatever, go back and read a classic novel. And then the one that my husband is actually rereading currently, and it's, I think, the only epistolary novel I've ever really liked, is Dracula.
Oh.
The original.
Dracula. All right. Yeah, yeah.
By Bram Stoker.
And to go back, epistolary novels are novels written in the form of letters, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Very cool.
And I will say, I had never read the original Dracula, and I was living in Prague for a semester, and I decided to read it then. So I was living in this, like, communist-era block apartment building way, way from the center of town, but my classes
Milan
were down there.
Milan Kundera can take a hike. I'm reading Dracula.
Right. No, so I would sit, I would go to class, and then I would sit at a pub and have a couple beers and read Dracula, and then I would have to walk, like, 10 blocks at night on the cobblestone streets with the moonlight, and I was terrified.
Like, every building in Prague is, like, all gothic with the spiky.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. Okay. I don't really have a Halloween reading tradition, unfortunately. That's okay. So 19th century scary novels. Benito Sereno by Herman Melville. Not
Boom.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Just pulled that one out. when I'm thinking of, like, it's not a horror story, but it kind of, like, it's a horrifying story about a...
What's it called?
Benito Sereno by Herman Melville. It's a novella. It's short. You can read it in one sitting. It's about a guy who, very similar to Moby Dick, where the main character is the captain of the ship and the narrator is the person who makes his way on board the ship. But a lot of this is about the captain of the ship and who really is the captain of the ship. But it's a captain of a guy goes on a ship that's in some sort of distress. I can't remember exactly the details of what gets him on the ship, but it's a captain and he's got a crew and it's a slave ship. So this is a story about slavery, but the crew is white and black and. It's just life on the ship, but there's something going on that the narrator can't quite put his finger on, and it's at the end of the story that it gets revealed, like, what's actually happening on
the
ship.
Good.
But it is a really good...
I might
good,
have to put that on my classics reading list for Halloween this year.
Definitely the best, and I've read Moby Dick, I've read Billy Budd, which is terrible, I've read Moby Dick, which is good, I've read Benito Sereno, which is great, and I would recommend that to anyone. Yeah.
All right,
definitely.
Awesome.
Yep.
So I'm glad that you mentioned reading in one sitting, because another segue.
Right.
Look at us.
Oh, that's good, because I've got one more short story that I haven't mentioned yet. So getting back to reading with one sitting.
Reading
we got
in one
it.
Sitting. Yep. My mind goes to either longest short stories or shortish novels, aka novellas.
Novellas.
My mind goes to Richard Matheson, who wrote in the 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. He wrote a lot of his short fiction. So he wrote short stories and novellas. A lot of his people will recognize from The Twilight Zone. So Richard Matheson wrote Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the very famous William Shatner on the wing. So can I tell you, I'm getting goosebumps talking about that William Shatner episode. That thing terrifies me. I don't know. Like, when they redid that episode for the movie, The Twilight Zone.
With John Lithgow.
That didn't scare me.
Interesting.
With the skeleton thing. The William Shatner episode of The Twilight Zone, when there's, like, a Munchie-Chi doll
I'm gonna have to
on
go
the
back.
Wing, that image, like, seriously, I have goosebumps right now talking about
it. I have not seen the William Shatner episode.
It's a Munchie-Chi doll on the wing of the plane, and I cannot watch it
if
I want to
sleep. They just reused Talkie Tina from the previous episode.
Right? But the story is great, and Richard Matheson's fiction is awesome. He also wrote I Am Legend.
Yes.
Which was turned into
several movies.
Several movies are okay.
Several
but,
movies, all of which are, but yeah.
Right, but the story, now that one might verge into slightly terrifying, but he is great. Also, Once again, Shirley Jackson, who wrote The Lottery, which there's actually a fantastic biography of her out now. She's a fascinating writer. But almost all of her horror novels are shorter. So she wrote The Haunting of Hill House.
Hill House, yeah.
Which has also been turned into two movie versions.
Yes. The original with Vincent Price is in it, isn't he, I think?
Is it Vincent Price in
it? I think so. It's from the 50s, isn't
it? The original's really good.
The original's really good. Yeah, yeah.
And also, We Have Always Lived in the Castle, which is a great short novel. Again, it's not blood and gore, but it's like psychologically scary. And then I also want to recommend, if folks have not read him, Ira Levin, who wrote Rosemary's Baby.
Yes.
Sliver. So many of his things were turned into books or into movies. And they're all short. And if you've never read the book Rosemary's Baby, it's really good. People have seen the movie, but the book is really good. And it's like, I think, under 200 pages.
Okay.
Very good book.
All right. I've got two to recommend, one short story and another kind of shortish novel. I didn't get to recommend Ursula Le Guin's The Ones Who Walk Away from O'Malley's, which is another great...
It's a great title.
Great title. O'Malley's is spelled O-M-E-L-A-S, and it's Salem O backwards. So Ursula Le Guin lived in Salem, Oregon, so she kind of used that as the inspiration. But it's The Ones Who Walk Away from O'Malley's. It's a utopian short story, and it's the author... The narrator is speaking to you. So picture this town, the town of O'Malley's, which is this perfect,
which is very Twilight
idyllic,
Zone sounding, right?
Right? Yeah,
the intro.
Portrait of a small town. But like a really idyllic, perfect, peaceful. Everyone is content. There's no like extreme euphoria. There's no super highs or super lows. But everyone is just sort of generally content and happy and at peace and just enjoying life. But there is one, I don't want to give it away. There is one very, very awful thing that is wrong.
Don't tell me, because I totally want to read it.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know the
I'm
story.
Not going to say it, yeah.
But it also makes me think of The Stepford Wives, which is also by
Ira Levin.
Which was also a
movie.
Oh,
that's Ira Levin, too.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how, like, every single movie
he's
ever made come back
amazing.
To the same 10 authors?
Yes.
Yeah.
O'Malley's.
Yeah, The Ones Who Walk Away from O'Malley's. And like all of the like the contentness and the happiness and the peace of the town hinges on this one awful thing being true. And then the question is, are you willing to accept the one awful thing and live with it, or do you
Soylent Green
walk
is
away?
People? Are they eating people? Is it Soylent Green?
It's not Soylent Green. But you're not far off. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it there. And then the other one is one that I actually just read on a whole bunch of different people's recommendations. I finally got around to reading the last great Agatha Christie novel that I hadn't read,
Roger Ackroyd.
Isn't
that
a great
book?
Read it. Yes. I figured out the ending like 2/5 of the way through.
Really?
Yeah.
So I haven't read it in a long time. I think it shocked me.
Yeah. The only reason it didn't shock me was because I was like, I started reading it knowing that the book has this amazing reputation. So I was like, okay, it's got to be some really, really awesome twist. Ooh, you know what would be really fun is if...
Don't say it.
...
Right.
And then it turned out to be the case. So I was like, yes, this actually is a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right, I have one more.
Do we
have time?
We got time for one more.
It's a two-hour special. We have time.
Yes, of course.
Sorry. Okay, so next week, as we often do, we will probably talk about some Stephen King book. But I wanted to recommend a Stephen King who's like the master of horror that's not terrifying.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to read Stephen King but you don't like being terrified with clowns and all that stuff, seriously, the clown.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Even now. Anyways, I would recommend Different Seasons.
Okay.
Which is four novellas, and people will recognize three of them from the movies. One of them is Rita Hayworth in The Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
The other one is Apt Pupil, which is...
I love that
isn't
movie.
Isn't that a good...
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I've seen the movie, but the book
movie's
the
good, yeah.
Novella's great. The third one is The Body.
Which is Stand By Me.
And then the fourth one is called The Breathing Method, which was never made into a movie.
It's super jealous of the other three right now, I have no doubt.
But they're great. You can read, you know, they're short, they're novellas, they're not terrifying, but they're Stephen King. Mm. I think they show off his, like, mastery of writing and short fiction and all of it. It's great.
Those are three really good movies, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, read the book and then go see the three movies and just sort of close your eyes and imagine what the fourth might have been.
Alrighty. This is super fun. And cool. Next week's going to be really scary.
Next week's going to be super scary.
You should get
some
scary bumper music.
Ooh, I will.
Or the Monster Mash.
Monster Mash is kind of scary.
No, it's not.
What do we got in terms
you
of scary
some,
bumper
like,
music?
You need some organ music, like Vincent Price organ music, you know, kind of thing?
Okay.
Okay,
Vincent
next week.
Organ music. I'll work on it. All right, cool. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.